Folks from the Fredericksburg Legal Aid Office here. Is that right? Well, welcome, and thank you for the work that you do. I hope you come back here and watch this process often. You may get some tips on how to keep your case from coming here. Call the next case. You may proceed.
May it please the court, I am Timothy Martin Barrick, pro se appellant, and I will take no more than 3 minutes in my introductory remarks from saving the remainder for the end. I have good news. The parties agree that the trial court was without subject matter jurisdiction when it sanctioned me months after the court entered its final order under Rule 1-1. This means the sanction must be reversed and dismissed on a final judgment. Indeed, because the parties are in agreement, this court does not have discretion to do anything but reverse and dismiss. Where this court does have discretion is how it will reverse, which is to say, on what grounds. The appellee wants the court to reverse solely on the ground of lack of subject matter jurisdiction. But I think the court should reverse on each of the grounds, especially constitutional, that I have raised in my brief. On the ground, this court has a unique opportunity to not only solve this problem for the parties in the future, but also as a springboard to bring many of the cases on this topic into one comprehensive opinion that illuminates the propriety of such a sanction for all judges in the future. Thank you.
May I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
If this court disagreed with you that the court lacked subject matter jurisdiction, you said that we don't have an option because you are both in agreement. Is that correct?
I believe so, madam. I believe the jurisdiction of this court requires an active controversy. And as to this issue, there is no controversy.
Could the parties agree on a matter of law that would divest this court of jurisdiction?
If that's the issue of the appeal, yes, ma'am. I believe that they could. I believe the court would be without power to act if the parties ended up agreeing. Much in the same way, if we had reached an out-of-court settlement to get rid of a matter, we then do not have to subject that to this court and say, we need your approval. Once we agree, the matter's over because there's no longer an active controversy among the parties.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Stephen Miner, and I'm here for the appellee. The last time that I stood up in this courtroom, Justice Compton said to me, Mr. Miner, what you're saying can't possibly be true. And he was right, but I didn't know that until I got an opinion from this court that said so. But this time, I've filed a confession of error, which may be rare in a civil case, but the position that I've taken in the confession of error is what I've taken consistently throughout that case, which is simply that the April 14th, 2016 order was the final order in the case, and that any order entered more than 21 days after that was void ab initio. Now, Mr. Barrett says it was void ab initio because of lack of subject matter jurisdiction. I'm aware of an opinion called Cabral that was written by Justice Kelsey for the Court of Appeals, in which he explains that actually violations of Rule 1:1 are void ab initio, not for lack of subject matter jurisdiction, but because that's a mode of procedure that the trial court cannot adopt. But either way, it's the same effect. The order is void ab initio, and that being the case, I'm asking the court to decide this appeal on the narrowest and most certain grounds, which is that Rule 1 has been violated by the entry of the November order. Thank you.
All right.
Real briefly, in light of the fact that the parties do not disagree, I see no reason to add any further gloss to an argument.
All right. Thank you very much for your argument.
Thank you, Court.
Call the next case. Would
down a person. Hold up just a second. The court will take a short recess.
She's on her way down.